you open a cabinet under the sink, or you pull back a corner of drywall to check a slow drip, and there it is, something dark, something fuzzy, and your stomach drops. If that's where you are right now, this episode is for you. A quick note before we get started, this episode is narrated by an AI voice. All content is researched and reviewed by the human team at Mold Remediation Austin. Welcome to the Mold Remediation Austin podcast. I'm your host, Chris Rogers, and today we're covering the question we hear more than any other. I found mold, now what? By the end of this episode, you'll have a clear picture of what to do in the first 48 hours, what to avoid, and how to know whether this is something you can handle yourself or whether it's time to call in a professional. Let's get into it. The moment you spot mold, your instincts probably push you in one of two directions. Either you want to scrub it clean immediately, or you want to call someone in a panic. Both of those responses are understandable. Neither one should be your first move. Here's what actually matters in the first few minutes. First, leave it alone. Don't touch it, and don't spray it. Disturbing mold without the right protection can release spores into the air around it. That can spread the problem to other parts of your home. So for right now, leave it where it is. Next, if your HVAC system is running, turn it off. This is probably the single most important thing you can do in the first few minutes. Your heating and cooling system circulates air through your entire home. If mold spores are already in the air near the source, a running HVAC can carry them through your ductwork and deposit them in rooms that currently have no problem at all. Turn it off. It can wait. And last, close off the area if you can. If the mold is in a bathroom, a closet, or a utility room, close the door. You don't need to seal it with tape or treat it like a hazmat situation. Just reduce the airflow in and out of that space while you figure out what you're dealing with. That's it for the first few minutes. Three things. Don't touch it. Turn off the HVAC. Close off the space. Now let's talk about how to actually assess what you found. Here's something that surprises a lot of people. The color of mold tells you almost nothing useful. There's a widespread fear around black mold, and that fear isn't completely without basis. But it's been significantly overstated. The mold species most people are afraid of, Stachybotrys chartarum, is just one of hundreds of mold types that can grow in a home. And plenty of mold species that deserve serious attention aren't black at all. They're green, white, gray, or brown. So if color isn't the right thing to focus on, what is? Four things: size, location, material, and moisture source. Let's go through each one. Size. The EPA offers a widely cited guideline. If the affected area is smaller than about 10 square feet, roughly a 3x3 foot patch, it may be something a careful, healthy adult can address with the right products and protective gear. If it's larger than that, you're in professional territory. Take an honest look. Don't minimize what you're seeing. Location. Mold in the corner of a bathroom tile is a different situation than mold inside a wall cavity, near your HVAC system, or above a ceiling panel. The closer the mold is to your air distribution system, the more urgently you want a professional involved. If you suspect mold is inside your ductwork, do not run the system until a professional has assessed it. Material. Mold on a tile surface is much more manageable than mold on drywall, insulation, wood framing, or any other porous material. Porous materials absorb mold below the surface. Cleaning the surface doesn't solve the problem. In most cases, porous materials with significant mold growth have to be removed entirely. Moisture source. This is the one most people skip, and it's the one that will determine whether your mold problem comes back. Mold doesn't appear from nowhere. It needs a water source, a slow drip under a sink, a window that doesn't seal properly, a bathroom exhaust fan that's been underperforming for years, a foundation issue that lets moisture in during heavy rain. Until you find and fix whatever is feeding the mold, treating the mold itself is only temporary. Take a moment now and work through those four questions honestly. Your answers are going to shape what comes next. Now let's talk about the next 48 hours and what you should actually do. If the area is small and the surface is non-porous, you may be able to handle this yourself. EPA guidance supports cleaning surface mold on non-porous materials, things like tile grout, sealed concrete, or a small section of painted wall, using a properly diluted bleach solution or an EPA registered mold cleaner. If you go this route, wear nitrile gloves, a respirator rated for mold, not just a standard dust mask, and eye protection. Scrub the surface, let it dry completely, and keep a close watch over the next few weeks. If the mold returns, that's a signal. Either the moisture source wasn't fixed, or the problem runs deeper than the surface. If the area is larger, the material is porous, or you have health concerns in the household, it's time to call a licensed professional. And here's something Austin homeowners have going in their favor. Texas law requires that the company doing your mold testing and the company doing your remediation be separate entities. The same contractor cannot legally do both. What this means for you is actually good news. No one who walks into your home to assess the situation has a financial incentive to upsell you on remediation. The assessor gets paid to assess. The remediator gets paid to remediate. That separation is built into Texas law, and it keeps everyone honest. When you reach out to a mold remediation company, ask a few direct questions. Are you licensed by the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation? Will I receive a written scope of work before any work begins? And do you arrange for clearance testing after remediation is complete? That last question is worth pausing on. Clearance testing is done by a separate licensed assessor after the remediation is finished. It confirms that the mold has been removed and that the air quality in your home is back to normal. Reputable companies expect you to ask about it. One more thing before we move on. If anyone in your household has asthma, respiratory conditions, allergies, or a compromised immune system, use a lower threshold for calling a professional. The EPA's 10-square-foot guideline assumes a generally healthy adult in a standard situation. Your situation may call for a different standard, and that's completely reasonable. Here's the short version of everything we covered today. When you find mold, stop, turn off the HVAC, and close off the area. Then assess the situation honestly. Size, location, material, and moisture source. If the area is small and on a non-porous surface, and everyone in the home is healthy, you may be able to handle it yourself with the right gear and products. If the area is larger, the material is porous, the mold is near your air system, or someone in your home is vulnerable, call a licensed professional. And remember, in Texas, your mold assessment and your remediation have to be done by separate companies. That's the law, and it works in your favor. If you're dealing with mold in your Austin area home and you're not sure what you're looking at or what to do next, the team at Mold Remediation Austin is here to help. We move quickly because we know you can't afford to sit on this. No pressure, no upsell, just a straight answer. You can reach us at moldremediationaustin.com. Next episode, we're taking on one of the most persistent myths in the mold world. Is black mold really as deadly as everyone says? The answer is more complicated than you might think, and understanding it will help you ask better questions and make better decisions. Until then, take a breath. You've got what you need to take the first step.